The Cleveland Indians will remove the Chief Wahoo logo from their uniforms next year. The change comes after decades of protest against the red-faced, smiling cartoon that's been used since 1947. We're joined in studio now by Amanda Blackhorse. She's a member of the Navajo Nation and a longtime activist working to eliminate Native mascots and logos in pro sports. And you may recognize her name from the Washington Redskins trademark case that made its way to the Supreme Court. Amanda, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So let's start by just talking about your reaction to the removal of this logo. They're not changing the team name. What do you think?
Well, initially, I was very happy with the news. And I think that many people are, even Native advocates who have fought against racist mascots for years. I think it is a great victory to be done with that, because I think Chief Wahoo is probably the most racist and demeaning logo out there. And so initially, yes, it's great. I'm glad that it will be gone. But then I ask, what about Indians? You know, and it's like there's some progress here, but we're kind of back at square one, where I ask myself, does MLB and the Cleveland team truly understand what this mascot fight is about? Mm-hmm. And I don't think so, because they still are called the Indians. And that's a big problem for us.
Well, it's also a fight that, as we mentioned, as you were telling us before we went on the air, it's been going on for a very long time. Does it feel like this is sort of attrition, that in some ways the Cleveland organization sees times are changing, but also says, well, we're tied to this tradition, so we don't want to get rid of that? Whereas what you're talking about is an even longer tradition.
Exactly. I mean, you have Native people who have been fighting this for over 40 years, decades. I mean, you're talking about folks who in our community who aren't here with us anymore, people like Russell Means and Vernon Belcourt. You have the American Indian Movement, who have been on this for a long time, the community of 500 years. You have folks who have put in a lot of work on this, and yet I kind of feel like we're kind of back at square one with the mascot, you know, with the term Indians.
So it sounds like this isn't going to be over for you in terms of a fight. What's next? What do you think you can ask or push for with this particular team?
I think that Native people will continue to fight this, the name. I mean, it's not going to stop. We're not going to stop until it's gone. And that's the sad part about all of that, is that we're kind of back at square one. Yes, it's a small victory, but we have more work to do.
Amanda, I think it's important, and I think, you know, we know based on your background why this would affect you so much. But I also feel like maybe our approach is a little bit too clinical so far. And I want to know from you, why is it that this hits you and hits your family members, your ancestors, so hard?
Yes, the mascot issue is a very complex issue, but also I think it's one that, you know, when you look at the logo itself, and when you think about it in terms of why is the Washington team called the R word, you don't have any other ethnic groups out there who are being mascotted currently. Mascots dehumanize our image as indigenous people. It affects the way that people treat us. It demeans us down to caricatures and symbols. And when we're looked at in that way, we're not respected on the national level. You know, it affects policy. It affects the way that people refer to us out in the public. And there is research that shows that Native mascots actually reduce the self-esteem of our Native youth. And Stephanie Freiberg, a psychologist, did a research study that shows that while Native children, Native youth, feel bad about a lot of these images that don't depict who they are at all, the rest of the world, their self-esteem actually increases. So while the rest of the world can feel great about having, you know, the Chief Wahoo or the Washington team, we all suffer.
Yeah. I wonder also, so when you're talking about it from that personal lens, do you feel like this has not been as big of an issue or as easy an issue to solve for Native Americans as for other groups?
Yes, I feel like we are very much invisible in this country. And any time that we ever speak up, we have to push harder and fight harder for our voices to be heard. And I see, I hear a lot of people saying, well, now this is changing. You know, now everyone's going to be offended, you know, by people are, you know, so sensitive these days. People are offended by everything. And it's like, wait a minute, we're actual people. This is our land. We're indigenous to these lands. And we, you know, our voices aren't even valid. You know, we're dwindled down to animals and invisible people. When, you know, we're people. Let's start there, and then let's have that conversation.
All right. Amanda Blackhorse has for years been protesting the use of Native American mascots and logos in sports. Amanda, thanks so much for coming in to talk to us about this today.
Thank you for having me.
So how much of the Cleveland Indians' decision on a logo change has to do with simple business reality? For a take on that angle, we turn to Kenneth Shropshire, CEO of the Global Sports Institute at ASU. Ken, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
So ultimately, does this come down to cultural pressure, or do the Indians look at their organization and think, well, this fight's been going on long enough, we're a little bit concerned about our business future?
Well, a combination for sure. I mean, and I think about, you know, I haven't looked into it deeply, but as I look around here in the Phoenix area with spring training, how little of that imagery that's being done away with over the course of the next year exists here. That certainly from Native communities, there's been that kind of pressure to do away with the racist imagery all along. And you know, generationally, that potentially you have more right thinking people within the Indians organization. And I can't, you know, I heard Amanda Blackhorse speaking. I cannot help but say that. You know, no matter how, you know, good your progressive you think this is, it just helps to fully accentuate how far behind the Washington Football Club is and how kind of despicable, I would say, that ownership is for not moving away from a racist name. I mean, it's incredible in this day and age that you can have two sophisticated organizations in professional sports, multimillion-dollar organizations. One, you know, finally takes a step, which is going to take a year to fulfill, which is kind of interesting in itself. And one that you know, essentially says, you know, from my cold, dead hands, it's just not going to change.
Well, yeah, Washington owner Daniel Snyder, is this just an example of saying, no group is going to tell me what to do, even if it ultimately is the right thing to do?
Yeah, exactly. And it's just kind of this whole falsely created sense of history and legend, and this is what people want, and all this sort of foolishness that many people are still buying, and that unfortunately, you know, you ask why did this happen, and it's sort of why it's not happening in Washington is there's not the kind of pressure that it would take for someone that is not right thinking to finally make a move. So there's, you know, there's something positive within the Cleveland organization that does not exist at the top of the Washington organization.
And to be cynical a bit about the Indian situation here, Ken, is this a case where you might have people who harken back to old days or harken back to some sort of tradition in their fandom, and they may say, oh, well, this is the last year of Chief Wahoo. Now's the time to buy some material, and it actually helps the team in concession sales or in terms of they're going to sell more jerseys or something.
Well, you know, and frankly, the opposite is largely true. What we see from a business standpoint is that when you do change your logo, when you do make a change color-wise, you add teal to your colors, one of the most popular moves, there's an increase in sales for people wanting to buy the new merchandise. You have a new moment to market your merchandise. So, you know, not so much the stuff that you're doing away with, but the new stuff. So sure, there is a commercial moment that occurs by virtue of making the change, which was the other reason. You know, the Snyder kind of argument is how much money they would lose if they made such a change, where many people analyzed it and said, no, it would actually be a positive change. And to think about it, the new fans or the fans that may come back as a result of a positive change like that.
Another business angle, and this applies certainly to Arizona and maybe a few other states as well, as we're seeing stadiums get more and more expensive and there's less and less enthusiasm for building them or funding them, there have been some situations where you turn to tribal land or you turn to tribal sponsors and that kind of thing. And I'm wondering in the big picture how that could affect things too. If you still have these derogatory terms or derogatory nicknames, does that make it less likely that a tribal entity will want to do business with a league?
I think that's right. I mean, you've seen exceptions, and I was at an event not too long ago with Amanda Blackhorse, and there was a lot of commentary about it was the head of the Navajo Nation that sat in the box with Snyder, and you know, so there are those that can be bought and sold no matter what that will not, you know, you see this, you know, frankly, let's not just look at Native Nations. I mean, you see this with the African Americans. I see standing alongside Donald Trump on Martin Luther King holiday, and right after he's made the most derogatory statements possible about African countries and the like. So you're going to find people all over that will do different things. But yeah, overall, you would think there would be a much more positive kind of receptivity if the mascots are done away with.
And Ken, very briefly, I mean, it seems like this is a decision that makes a lot of sense for the Indians organization. Any chance that the Washington football team watches this more closely, or again, is that just a separate entity?
That's a completely separate entity, and I have, in all the years that I've looked at this, I have not been able to decipher what is going on in the head of Daniel Snyder. And frankly, too, there are a number of NFL owners that can't move away and speak negatively about him either. So. Or about the, and about the name, so that is, you know, I guess the good thing is the great people like Amanda Blackhorse, the great people who've been struggling with this issue for a while, we can now narrow the focus a bit to the one extraordinary outlier. I mean, it is just despicable that you would continue to use that name.
Ken Shropshire is CEO of the Global Sports Institute at ASU. Ken, thanks for the time today.
Thank you.